You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 17th of March 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming live today at radioalbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from russjournal.org. A very, very busy Dr. Johnson because of all the events that are happening in the world today. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
You know, when my Ukrainian nationalism book came out a couple of years ago, as I'm writing it, finishing it up, and getting it published, I didn't talk about Ukraine nearly as much then as I'm doing now. I was going to do the Iran situation because, you know, Israel's using this distraction to attack Iranian targets. But then Putin made these speeches, so now I'm back again. So, you know, one more round.
Well, it is certainly serving to make people more aware of the countries surrounding Ukraine, Belarus, Poland, Moldova. I don't think so much attention has ever actually been placed on that part of the world before, up until now. And as you say, today we're going to be looking at Putin's most recent comments, which of course are not being reported in the mainstream media. You would think they would talk about this. You know, there's a war going on in Europe at the moment. You would think that they would report on what the leader of the opposite side to Europe is actually saying, but no, they've just silenced all the Russian media. And when we look at what's actually being said, that gives us some idea of why that is. Now, this came out yesterday, basically. Vladimir Putin came out with a speech, and there are various articles in the Russian press which are covering parts of it. We're not going to do the whole speech here. We're going to do sections of it, and we're going to be quoting from RT. Russian President Vladimir Putin has opined that the latest rounds of unprecedented sanctions imposed on Russia by the US and its allies over the Kremlin's military campaign in Ukraine mark the end of an era. According to Putin, from now on, the West will be losing its global dominance, both politically and economically. Speaking on Wednesday, the Russian head of state proclaimed that the myth of the Western welfare state, of the so-called golden billion, is crumbling. Moreover, it is the whole planet that is having to pay the price for the West's ambitions and its attempts to retain its vanishing dominance at any cost, Putin said. The president predicted food shortages across the world as Western sanctions against Russia are adversely affecting the entire global economy. And this is something that I was thinking about straight away, is all the fertilizer that is actually produced in Russia is required for the agricultural industry in the West. And if you're not allowed to buy fertilizer from Russia, then where are they going to get it from? And of course, that's on top of the skyrocketing fuel prices. Matt, what do you make of what he is saying here?
You have to realize that Putin is a master of sarcasm and sometimes double talk when he's trying to be diplomatic. Losing its global dominance, as if that hasn't been gone for a while. If it wasn't a myth in the first place, he's well aware that that dominance is long gone. Now, the golden billion, I'm pretty sure he knows what that is, and our listeners know what that is. That's the population control agenda. The golden billion, using platonic terminology or alchemical terminology, is the 1 billion people that are going to be left when, you know, Bill Gates' ideology goes through. Now, he calling that the welfare state is definitely tongue in cheek. It's absolutely sarcastic. So all of this is, you know, he's mocking the West. He's well aware that the West is going to be, you know, even the elites are going to be badly damaged by this. People don't realize, and I said it yesterday, how much in industrial production requires petroleum. there's almost nothing. I mean, all plastics require, I mean, everything has some petroleum input. This is going to be extremely damaging. And there's a lot of metals, palladium, platinum, that Russia is by far the largest producer of. That's essential for high-tech connectors and things like that. So this is going to be extremely damaging. And I just wonder how long, you know, educated people are going to buy the idea that this is all the Russians' fault. But for now, it does seem to be the obsessive mainstream press's agenda.
Well, it's not just going to be resources that people are affected by. It's also what's been going on in our countries with the people that have invested money in our countries. And all the money is just being taken. It's being stolen by the governments. Touching on the decision by several Western powers to freeze Russia's central bank assets, Putin claimed that this would only serve to irreparably undermine trust in those nations and make other countries think twice before placing their reserves in the care of those countries. According to him, nearly half of Moscow's assets were simply stolen by the West. Addressing people in the West, the Russian leader said the massive sanctions imposed on Russia were already backfiring on the US and Europe themselves, with governments there trying hard to convince their citizens that Russia was to blame. Putin warned ordinary people in the West that attempts to portray Moscow as the primary source of all their woes were lies, with a lot of those issues being the direct result of the Western government's ambitions and political short-sightedness. Today, the entire planet has to pay the price for the ambitions of the West for its attempts by any means to maintain its crumbling dominance, he said. Concerned only with their vested interests and super profits, the Western elites led the world into the current situation through years of mistakes and short-sighted decisions. The Western elites, according to Putin, have turned their countries into an empire of lies, but Russia will keep on presenting its own position to the whole world, no matter what. And of course, that's why they've shut down RT and Sputnik in Europe, why you can't watch RT on YouTube anymore, because they don't want this information coming out. And it's not just affecting, you know, the rich people that have invested in the country or the people that are needing steel or fertilizer. It's affecting everyone because the price of fuel has gone up by a third. The price of electricity is doubling. And I don't think people are going to hold with this, oh, it's Putin's fault for long, because they're going to demand that the government reduces all the taxes that they're actually putting on fuel. Over here in Britain, we already pay, I think, twice as much as you pay over there, Matt, because they put loads of taxes on the petrol. So there's going to be demands for these prices to come down. And I guess the worst result of that could be that could you know, cause them to then go to war against Russia as a last resort, rather than admitting that it's actually the West that have put these prices up because of these sanctions. Do you agree with what I'm saying there, Matt?
Oh, yeah. The whole thing is an absolute disaster. It just so happens that in the meeting last week, the prime minister and the president, Russia's tax rate, they always had a 13% flat tax. That's going down. Taxes are being, in the short term anyway, eliminated in all kinds of financial moves. They have, and you know, the whole notion of central bank assets, well, that's only assets that are invested in the West. And even that's really iffy. The very fact that Russia's central bank has reserves at all, which is something that a luxury the West doesn't have, is impressive. And he's well aware that the trust in the West, especially the U.S., you know, pulling out of every treaty they can, double talk, all this nonsense. It's reliance on violence and mercenaries and drugs. You know, their trust is non-existent. People are well aware of this. So the simply stolen comment is absolutely true. That's what happened in the 1990s, where Western-backed oligarchs, Harvard University, the CIA was, you know, rigging those asset voucher programs and shipping everything out of the country, liquefying everything. And the concept of trying hard to convince their citizens that Russia was to blame, he's well aware of how the propaganda operates. And the whole point of this speech and the other speeches he's made is to cut through all that. So there's a few, you know, vague distortions here. RT is usually pretty good. And don't forget, the largest Russian banks are explicitly unaffected by sanctions. Gazprom Bank and a few others, the biggest ones, are unaffected precisely for this reason. So I don't know what kind of assets are being frozen or what that would even mean, since that's a lot of money in certain places. And I think that's largely mythical, the way sanctions operate here. And the reason that the biggest banks are not affected is because, you know, and by the way, when he says the West, he's referring to the leftist ruling class, what I call the regime. So it's not the West in an ideological sense. It's the West in this self-interested monopoly BlackRock sense. And they're the ones, of course, who control the press. So the very fact that they're trying so hard and they're banning everything, that doesn't come from a position of strength. It comes from a position of weakness. Russia can pretty much weather anything, given the size of their allies' markets, given the amount of gold they have, and the fact that they've been preparing for this for a very long time. Their banking system is more or less unaffected here. I think the people who are affected the most are billionaire French and German investors who have a lot of money in Russia and now have a lot of pressure on them. Even though they're not violating sanctions per se, it doesn't matter. They're being you imagine Mercedes-Benz being forced to pull out all their factories in the northern part. You know, this is something that's going to create a rebellion even among the elites themselves in Central Europe.
Well, people are just going to no longer trust the liberal democracies, are they? You can no longer trust America. I mean, they pull out of treaties. They pulled out of the treaty with Iran. They've got Germany to pull out of the contract deal with Nord Stream 2. And now they're just stealing all the assets that belong to Russians in the countries that the Russians have moved to or have invested in. I mean, all it means is that Russia will now invest all the wealth that Russia has within Russia and nowhere else. And all those assets or whatever, nobody's going to begin to want to invest in Europe or America anymore after this. And we certainly don't have the resources to start creating our own goods ourselves now. Well, Putin also gave reasons for the military operation. President Vladimir Putin gave an extensive speech on the Ukrainian crisis on Wednesday as he met with regional heads to discuss measures of socio-economic support to counter the wave of anti-Russian sanctions. Putin provided his take on the ongoing conflict with Ukraine, its causes, and the goals that Russia is pursuing. Launching the special military operation was the only option Russia had left to end the years-long bloodshed in eastern Ukraine, Putin stressed. At the same time, limiting its scope to the breakaway Donbass republics only would have just pushed the front line westwards rather than defused the situation, he noted. While waging the war against the breakaway regions of Donbass, Kiev has been preparing for a broad offensive to recapture them, Putin said, adding that almost 14,000 civilians, including children, have been killed in the conflict. Ukrainian authorities also sought to attack Crimea, which split from the country back in 2014 and joined Russia via a referendum. Encouraged by the United States and other Western countries, Ukraine was purposefully preparing for a scenario of force, a massacre and an ethnic cleansing in Donbass. A massive onslaught on Donbass and later Crimea was just a matter of time. However, our armed forces have shattered these plans, Putin said. And, you know, we just don't hear about this in the West, that 14,000 civilians were actually killed over the last 8 years with Ukraine waging this civil war against the Donbass. Most people in Europe aren't even aware that there was a civil war that was going on there. So what do you make of what he's saying here? I mean, he's just sort of expanding upon what he has said before about the reasons why they had to have this military operation, isn't he, Matt?
Well, you know, in the Russian press, this is a pretty common idea. I said all of this in my very first broadcast when I got back. The idea of Ukraine being able to take both the Donbass and Crimea with its current array of forces is laughable. They've been defeated before. They'll be defeated again. This means that they were going to be using unconventional weapons. And it was the importation of nuclear weapons, short-range nuclear weapons, that really was the final straw. Because there was no question that Ukraine, especially, you know, the people who run it, would have no qualms about using them in certain places and probably figuring out a way to blame Russia for it. Because even if those were shot down, like most of the missiles have been, it's still going to cause a tremendous amount of damage. Now, I think the translation here, you know, 14,000 civilians, including children, it sounds like he's talking about, you know, the conflict since February 25th. No, that's been constant bombardment and shelling, as you say, by Ukrainian irregulars and regulars since 2014. Johnson's law is very strong here because no one knows a damn thing about Ukraine, let alone Eastern Ukraine. And they have no clue of what's been going on there, why those republics broke away, why they've been successful, why the Ukrainian army fell apart when they tried to attack it, and how the heck were they going to take Crimea? You have Russian troops there. You have their own militias there. There's a lot of people involved. And there's no doubt in my mind that that is the entire point of having, as I said yesterday, the chemical warfare labs in Odessa. It's on the Black Sea. It's been there since at least 2004, and they continue to expand on it. And that possibly was to go after Russian shipping as well as Crimea. They don't have the ability to take these areas. So there's no doubt in my mind, and this has been said by Lavrov and the Defense Department in the past, that it was the desire, open desire, to use nuclear weapons and chemical agents to retake these areas. They have to wipe them out. If they were forcibly going to bring them into Ukraine, they would have an Ulster situation. So there has to be ethnic cleansing there, or they had no chance, even if they did win.
Well, I think people thought it was just bravado or exaggeration when Ukraine were talking about taking Crimea back or were getting nuclear weapons. But it does, you know, you cannot say things like that without the country that you're aiming that those threats at taking them seriously. And Putin next spoke about the nuclear capability and the bioweapons research. Ukrainian authorities have openly stated their goal to obtain weapons of mass destruction, namely nuclear bombs and means of their delivery, Russia's president has said. Given the extremely hostile attitude of Kiev, such systems would have been used to target Russia once they were ready. Putin also touched upon the Ukrainian biolab network allegations raised by the Russian military amidst the offensive. The facilities scattered across the country have allegedly been engaged in biological weapons development with the direct support of Washington. The allegations, backed by documents published by the Russian military, have been met with varying degrees of denial from the top US officials. There was a network of dozens of laboratories in Ukraine where military biological programs were conducted under the guidance and with the financial support of the Pentagon, including experiments with coronavirus strains, anthrax, cholera, Africa swine fever, and other deadly diseases, Putin said, adding that now frantic attempts are underway to conceal the traces of these secret programs. And the West's response to that has been to say, oh, well, this means that Putin may use chemical weapons. But they haven't actually come out with anything to disprove these allegations. In fact, didn't Victoria Nuland pretty much confirm that there were these biolabs recently over there in the States, Matt?
Yeah, having these softball questions from Senator Rubio at the committee hearing, she said that, you know, we have to get those labs out of the country so they don't fall into the hands of Russia. She was not supposed to say that. She's not a bright woman. And to just mouth like that, I mean, now we didn't need her. That's a blatant admission. But we have documents all over the place. I mentioned yesterday the British newspaper, I can't remember which it was, National Pulse, I think it was, who released these documents. I've not checked WikiLeaks. I don't even know if they're still functioning given the situation, but I guarantee you we're going to find all kinds of things. What option do they have? Certainly, the U.S. is going to deny it, but they can't get their story straight. The story now is that these labs were created to defuse old Soviet stockpiles of these things. And we know this is a lie. First of all, that could have been done in 5 minutes because Russia has already neutralized all of this. It takes, you know, a couple of days. And these are new buildings, and they're brand new contracts. It's, you know, they're not hidden. The Ukrainian Ministry of Health and the Pentagon have these long-term contracts for the development of these weapons. And you know, depending on who you ask, you know, whatever group in the West, they have a different story. So this whole thing is they have no choice but to deny it. They love bringing up the chemical weapon idea, like they did in Syria, despite the fact that they've definitely been using white and yellow phosphorus shells in the Ukrainian army. The Chechens use poison gas. The poison gas is used in African civil wars and without a whole lot of complaint from anybody except the Russians. So there's a very good reason why this kind of talk has been banned, why this speech is tough to find except in Russian. and then the frantic attempts to conceal. And secret programs, you know, these contracts are not all that secret. They're just very, very difficult to find. The Ukrainian Ministry of Health, as well as the Pentagon, have been working on this for a long time. And it makes a lot of sense, given the tremendous violent goals that they have, to wipe this part of the world out. And hopefully that the U.S. is going to come and protect them if anything happens. All of this has been backfired. This is why the invasion occurred. The plans have been exposed within a couple of days, this would have started, either conventionally or unconventionally, if Russia didn't intervene. This is very easy to trace back, all whether it be the money or the contracts or the paperwork. I've done it myself. It's not that difficult. And, of course, it's way too complicated for your average university professor, so they're not going to talk about it. Certainly your average journalist. So that's the reason for the invasion, and that's the reason for the speech.
And, of course, the West will say, well, we're just working in these biolabs to try and develop vaccines. You know, they always try to say that they're actually trying to do something positive there. But if you've got the viruses there, then you're working on these viruses and working on these bioweapons, basically. Well, he also spoke about how Ukraine is trying to prolong the war, which is the opinion that we have here at Radio Albion as well. Over the past few years, under the close guidance of their Western handlers, the Kiev authorities have morphed Ukraine into anti-Russia, Putin suggested. The only goal of the incumbent Kiev regime is to drag the conflict on for as long as possible, with little regard to the fate of the civilians or the destruction that ensues. We are seeing again and again that the Kiev regime, for which its Western masters have set the task of creating an aggressive anti-Russia, is indifferent to the fate of the people of Ukraine themselves, Putin said. It is also obvious that the Western handlers are simply pushing the Kiev authorities to continue the bloodshed. They are supplied with more and more weaponry batches. They are provided with intelligence. They also receive other assistance, including military advisors and mercenaries. Both Ukrainian authorities and the collective West have exhibited shocking cynicism amid the conflict, Putin said. Offering the ballistic missile strike on the center of Donetsk that occurred on Monday as an example of such behavior. The strike killed at least 20 civilians. They are striking randomly at squares with the fervor of fanatics and the exasperation of the doomed. They are acting like the Nazis did when they tried to drag as many innocent victims as they could to their graves, Putin said, adding that Kiev had tried to blame the strike on Russia through blatant lies. The attitude of the so-called civilized world to the missile strike turned to be shocking in its extreme cynicism as well, the president went on. The European and American press did not even notice this tragedy in Donetsk as if nothing happened, Putin said. Just like they have been hypocritically looking the other way over the past 8 years, as mothers buried their children in Donbass, as elderly people were killed, this is simply moral degradation, complete dehumanization. And I thought right from the start that that's all that Zelensky is doing by handing out weapons to people, civilians, just basically turning them into targets and trying to create as many killed civilians as possible and then blaming Russia for them. What do you make of what he's saying here, Matt?
Well, when you have a materialist worldview, lives only matter if they serve your interests. If we're just, you know, nerve endings and flesh and bone, what difference does it make who's considered human, who is, and who dies, and who doesn't? It's always a Soviet point of view. So indifference, you know, this is how liberalism operates. It needs to destroy anything that it can't immediately control. And that's why this is where dehumanization comes from. And the projection where they say everyone else is dehumanizing their population. And of course, the Nazi comment, we know that's kind of silly, but he's referring to some of these militia groups here. You know, he always has this tongue in cheek. He's always saying under that diplomatic veneer, he's saying a lot more. And if you know how he operates, it makes sense. And now the missile strike, I talked about this yesterday. It was a strike using cluster munitions. And I describe what that is in a civilian area. There was no military, nothing near it. It was deliberate. We know it was a cluster, which is illegal, because it was shot out of the air. And yet the clusters, the little bombs, then fell in everywhere. So there's no question that it was a cluster weapon, which is exactly what they accuse pretty much all their enemies of. And it killed a whole bunch. The point was to terrorize civilians. No different than in World War II, where Allied bombers would go after civilian centers, as Churchill explicitly said the point is to terrorize them into unconditional surrender. Same thing for Japan. They have no problem in killing civilians. To them, anyone who is not under their immediate control isn't a human. If they won't accept, if they won't be forced to be free, then they'll, you know, give them the ultimate freedom of death. And that's why they have no problem using any of these weapons. You can't expect the regime to get equally upset about death, especially when you think that for them, corpses of their enemies is something enjoyable. This is how they operate. This is the apostles of openness and tolerance, as they tell us, who are quite willing to do it. They did it in Syria, too, torching farms, torching food supplies, and using it with American helicopter. It's an outrage, but that's one of the reasons we're here. We're forcing these things out into the open, and that's what Putin is doing here, too.
It's incredible that they could claim that a missile strike on Donetsk was carried out by Russia. I mean, it's quite obvious to me that when you see that there are these damaged buildings that are in civilian areas, that is because the military have been putting weapons in those civilian areas. I mean, why else would the Russian military be firing on a civilian area unless it had a military installation in it, unless it had the military in there? Russia has been saying this right from the start, that that was the plan of the Ukraine military, was to remove it all into civilian areas, and that's exactly what's happened. And of course, we had this war criminal insult yesterday from Joe Biden. US President Joe Biden has called his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin a war criminal over the conflict in Ukraine, with the Kremlin responding that such remarks from the United States are unacceptable and unforgivable. During a White House event on Wednesday, Biden was asked by one of the reporters if he considered Russia's president a war criminal. Initially, Biden answered no, but then he asked the journalist to clarify the question and said, "Oh, I think he is a war criminal." Commenting on the American leader's remarks, Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov told TASS that Moscow considers the statement unacceptable and unforgivable rhetoric from the head of state whose bombs killed hundreds of thousands of people around the world. While the US has consistently condemned Russia's attack on Ukraine, Biden's remarks on Wednesday apparently hit the mark the first time the American leader used a term as strong as war criminal to describe Putin's actions. Previously, the White House avoided using this definition, explaining that it was a specific legal term. In a speech on Wednesday, Biden accused the Russian military of shelling hospitals and apartment buildings, something that Moscow denies. The president's remarks came a day after the US Senate backed a resolution declaring Putin a war criminal. The Democratic Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said on Tuesday that both Democrats and Republicans joined together to say that Vladimir Putin cannot escape accountability for the atrocities committed against the Ukrainian people. Putin has consistently denied the accusations of indiscriminate shelling of Ukrainian cities by the Russian forces, stressing that the military are working with modern, high-precision weapons and hitting only military targets. Moscow attacked Ukraine in late February following a seven-year standoff over Ukraine's failure to implement the terms of the Minsk agreements and Russia's eventual recognition of the Donbass republics with capitals in Donetsk and Luhansk. The German and French brokered protocols of the Minsk agreement had been designed to regularize the status of those regions within the Ukrainian state. Russia has now demanded that Ukraine officially declare itself a neutral country that will never join the US-led NATO military bloc, while Kiev insists the Russian offensive was completely unprovoked and has denied claims it was planning to retake the two republics by force. I mean, one of these most recent ones was an attack on a hospital, and a few days before that, the UN representative from Russia to the UN was saying that there is a military that is in this hospital. And then today they're talking about a theater that has been bombed, and they've said, "Oh, this theater was filled with women and children." And outside, they'd even painted children on the tarmac so that the helicopters could see it. You can see that it's all professionally been painted on the tarmac. That's not school teachers that have done that. That had to have been the military that did that and put that there. And then apparently there's a tweet from a couple of days ago that was saying that the militia had actually put loads of Russian women and children in that area and blown it up themselves, and were planning on blowing it up themselves. And this was from a few days ago. Of course, you don't know how truthful this was. It was a screenshot. But it doesn't make sense that, the Russians would just bomb a theater, does it? They had to have either thought that there was military in there, or it could be, again, it could be the Ukrainian militia doing this to Russian ethnicity, mothers and children. What do you make of these quotes that we have here, Matt? And did you hear about this attack on a theater and the hospital?
Yeah, well, I can't keep them straight anymore. It's typical war propaganda. Countries have been doing this since the dawn of warfare. Can you imagine, how stupid you would have to be? See, I can't wrap my head around it, to actually believe that people are going to the movies as this war is going on, because that's what they're claiming is happening. And the simple question, who benefits from this, is never asked. There's got to be something that they teach them in journalism school. To never ask who actually, because it never comes up. That part of Ukraine generally is relatively pro-Russia. They're worrying about hearts and minds here. And the reason that the cities have taken so long to fall is that they're aware that the militias, as well as, I can't tell the difference between militias and Ukrainian regulars anymore. And the militias don't wear uniforms in many cases. And when you have civilians being handed weapons, well, according to the Geneva Convention, there are no such things as non-combatants anymore. It's kind of like Vietnam in 1970. The reason that it's gone so slowly, this could have been over in 24 hours, but they're aware that part of the strategy is to locate heavy weapons in residential areas and homes, making it almost impossible to get rid of them. So the Russians then have to surround it, allow a corridor for people to get out. And of course, that's not being used. It's being attacked by these people. They're not letting anyone leave. And that's the whole point. That's their military strategy, if you can believe. The fact that Joe Biden, I think what happened was, all that reporter did is ask the question twice. The first one, he didn't wait for his teleprompter, the earpiece, I should say, to give him the answer. That's why he said no. Assuming he knows where he is or can understand anything, which I don't think is true. Then the earpiece came, oh no, please, yes, he is a war criminal. So he just repeated the question twice. He's done this kind of thing before. I exposed in a lecture maybe last year, that Joe Biden went with Richard Lugar in 1972 to the Soviet Union to meet with at least some lower level Soviet leaders. And he praised the country. He was very civilized. He didn't mention any of the violent human rights. This is, the beginning of the Helsinki era, the Human Rights Accord, and didn't say a word about any of this stuff. He was a completely different man there. He actually was coherent and everything, and he was a foreign policy specialist until, his dementia. So, when the place is Soviet, he had no problem with it, treated them with great respect, no military attack, no sanctions, nothing like that. But the minute it removes itself from the West, from Western investment, allies with others and pushing out the dollar and taking a illiberal stance in politics, all of a sudden, now they need to be wiped out of the map, off the map. I've been saying this from the very beginning, and this is just one more proof that that's the case.
The military installations in the civilian areas is so reminiscent of ISIS in Syria. It's the same tactics, basically, because it's the CIA that taught both these groups to do that. Well, we also heard some more details on communications with Ukraine just before the special military operation began. Moscow had asked Kiev to withdraw troops from Donbass republics to avoid bloodshed, but Ukraine refused, Russian President Vladimir Putin revealed for the first time on Wednesday. I want to say this for the first time. At the very beginning of the operation in Donbass, to avoid bloodshed, we asked the Kiev authorities through various channels to not engage in hostilities, but simply to withdraw their troops from Donbass. They didn't want to, Putin said in a video call with the governors of the Russian regions. Well, that is their decision. They will inevitably come to realize what is happening in reality on the ground, the Russian president added. The revelation came 3 weeks after Putin ordered the Russian military to enter Ukraine to demilitarize and denazify the government in Kiev. He accused the Ukrainian leadership of genocide against the Russian-speaking residents of the Donetsk and Luhansk republics, which Russia had recognized as independent republics just days earlier, as well as seeking NATO membership and nuclear and biological weapons, all of which he said represented an existential threat to Russia's security. All diplomatic options were completely exhausted, Putin said, leaving Moscow with no option to peacefully solve these problems that arose through no fault of our own. According to the Russian president, Kiev not only refused to negotiate with the Donbass republics, but prepared for open war against them and Russia, and continued bombing civilians while sending saboteurs and terrorists into Crimea, the peninsula that voted to join Russia after the 2014 US-backed coup in Ukraine. We had no other option for self-defense, for ensuring the security of Russia, except for conducting a special military operation, the president said, adding that the intervention will reliably ensure the security of Russia and our people and will never allow Ukraine to serve as a springboard for aggressive actions against our country. Putin noted that Russia does not intend to occupy Ukraine and that its troops are doing everything in their power to avoid losses among the civilian population of Ukrainian cities. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has accused Russia of attacking without provocation. On Wednesday morning, he addressed the US Congress via video link, pleading for shipments of airplanes, missiles, and other weapons, as well as a NATO-enforced no-fly zone over Ukraine. The US and its allies have sided with Ukraine and imposed a sweeping economic embargo on Russia, but both Washington and NATO have drawn the line at actual military confrontation with Moscow. So far, and I do hope they don't actually get involved in military confrontation. Matt, what are your final thoughts on all of this today?
If any country ever had a justified reason to invade another, it was Putin's Russia. It's not just that the country has been reduced to a fourth world hole in most of it, but they've banned the Russian language. They've banned Russian media. They've shut down opposition parties. They've attacked Crimea over and over again. They have been shelling Donetsk and Luhansk for a decade with huge civilian casualties. They brought in biological and nuclear weapons from the U.S. They've become a colony of the U.S. And I could just go on and on and on here. I mean, the patience that Putin has shown, the diplomacy that he's been engaged in. Of course, his demands initially were so minimal that the only reason that Ukraine said no to them all is because the U.S. was pushing them to do so. There is no independent Ukrainian state. It's a colony of the West. Everything was done through the American embassy. And it's not the first time they've done this to a country. When you don't have a functional economy or currency, you've got to become a colony. The country's been sold off. And that, thank God, is over.
Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.